In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, December 2nd, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. And at the end of today's newscast, a special personal request. The Committee for Human Rights in North Korea has obtained satellite photos of the infamous Camp 25, which it says has been expanded to take in 5,000 prisoners. The report mentions, quote, unspeakable atrocities, unquote, committed against the political prisoners to include rape, murder, torture, and forced abortion. So far, the House Select Panel on Infant Lives has identified at least 9 criminal and regulatory charges against abortion providers and or fetal tissue procurement companies in the trafficking of baby body parts. The organs are harvested from babies who have been killed in their mother's wombs. The House voted to provide additional funding of $800,000 for the ongoing investigation yesterday to Planned Parenthood's chagrin. Romans 3:15-18 says, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. President-elect Donald Trump told an audience in Cincinnati he has selected General James Mattis to the position of Secretary of Defense.
We are going to appoint Mad Dog Mattis as our Secretary of Defense.
Last year, General Mattis criticized President Obama's policies before the Senate Armed Services Committee on his pulling troops out of Afghanistan and putting women into combat. UK Prime Minister Theresa May told the Parliament this week that Christians should have the freedom to share their faith in the workplace and to, quote, speak quite freely about Christmas, unquote. May also said that Brits should be proud of their Christian heritage. A Texas elector made news as he resigned his position instead of casting a vote for Donald Trump in the Electoral College. Art Cisneros says Trump is not biblically qualified for the position. He defended his position on his blog, referencing biblical passages including 2 Samuel 23:3 and Exodus 18:21. As well as quoting from Pastor Philip Kaiser's work from Dominion Covenant Church in Omaha, Nebraska. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. 2 Samuel 23:3. A bank robber in Jacksonville, Florida, took 11 hostages and held up the bank for several hours yesterday before he finally surrendered. The suspect, Nicholas DeGuan Humphrey, is in police custody. In God's sovereign providence, that wildfire in Tennessee has now claimed 10 lives, the most for a single fire in 13 years. The fire near Gatlinburg has also consumed 700 structures so far. A killer freeze is descending on the country in December. Dr. Roger Pielk Sr. from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Climate Prediction Center says he cannot remember the last time a cold anomaly like this one hit almost the whole country. Alaska and the western half of the states will be hit especially hard next week, according to current forecasts. 80-year-old Kenneth Smith in Gulfport, Mississippi, was having a hard time paying his wife's medical bills, selling kindling for $5 a bag. After his wife lost her battle with cancer and he had spent their life savings on the bills, a neighbor, Jessica Pittman, started up a GoFundMe.com page and raised $105,000 in just 9 days. Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. A star-filled Christian audio adventure that is putting God back into history beat both National Public Radio and Garrison Keillor at the recent 2016 Voice Arts Awards, which are the audio industry's equivalent to the Academy Awards. Heirloom Audio Productions' The Dragon and the Raven won three Voice Arts Awards on November 13th, including Outstanding Production, Audio Engineering, and Outstanding Spoken Word and Storytelling. Remarkably, in the storytelling category, Heirloom edged out NPR's Kitchen Moments and The Road Home, voiced by Garrison Keillor. The Dragon and the Raven chronicles the story of how King Alfred the Great, from the 9th century, led an army that beat the barbaric Vikings, saved the English lands, and brought the country back to God. It stars Helen George from Call the Midwife, John Rhys-Davies, known for his roles in The Lord of the Rings and Indiana Jones, Sylvester McCoy from Doctor Who and The Hobbit, John Bell from The Hobbit as well, and Brian Blessed, known for his roles in Star Wars, Tarzan, and King Lear. Heirloom Audio, which has released a total of 7 dramas, was founded by Bill Hyde with the goal of giving children wholesome, Christ-centered entertainment that not only engages the mind, but also educates and inspires. The company's CDs are based on G.A. Henty's historical novels and feature top actors and actresses, along with original music scores and sound effects, detailing the stories of Christian heroes from history. The Worldview talked with Bill Hyde about how dramatically sound design has changed since the infant days of the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet.
Sound design technology has changed considerably over the years. With Lee in Virginia, for example, in the middle of a battlefield, you're going to know what it's like to have a cannonball go whizzing by your head. You're going to know what it's like to be involved in the middle of hand-to-hand combat where swords are clashing against each other and your friends are calling for help. You're going to feel like you're right in the middle of that because of new sound design technology.
But beyond that, Hyde addressed the importance of raising the bar of excellence without compromising the message of Christ.
Participants in the Voice Arts Awards are people like Disney and Pixar. This is not like the Dove Awards where everyone's in a Christian ghetto and we're worried about anything that we lather with Jesus butter win some type of participation award. We're competing against real players in the real world. I started this company in my garage, and to be able to go backstage and talk to the judges that have listened to our stories and awarded us prizes, judges who are not Christians, judges who are liberal, judges who may be atheists, but shake my hand and say, that was a great story. That's a thrill for me because it's my aim to get Christian material out of the Christian ghetto and compete.
Hyde shared with The Worldview a direct message for homeschool parents.
If you are a homeschool parent, I think that the stories that we tell, these audio adventures that we produce, are a perfect complement to what you're doing, at least as far as worldview issues are concerned. And I think you're going to love the stories. I think you'll love the production values.
Each drama features 2 CDs and spans more than 2 hours. Free study guides and discussion starters for parents also are included for each adventure. These award-winning historical narratives may be ordered at generations.org. That's generations.org. And that's The Worldview on this Friday, December 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2016. What does this newscast mean to you? I'd like to feature your 2 to 10 sentence long testimony. Email me at adam@theworldview.com and include your name, city, and state. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of 5, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with us today. And from time to time, we revisit the cultural scene because the cultural scene is what directs the political scene and oftentimes the ecclesiastical scene as well. These days, it's the pop culture that seems to lead our nation down the primrose path over the cliff with all the lemmings following in suit. So here's an example of that. When it comes to the social acceptability of homosexuality, you say, well, how does that happen? How do we get the social acceptability of, say, homosexual marriage from 1% of the population somewhat interested in it in 1970 to 72% of the millennial generation head over heels in love with homosexual marriage in 2016? How does that happen? It happens not by political mandate, not really by the influence of the educational systems. It happens largely by the pop culture. And that's why these ad campaigns, I think, are so important, Bill. Here's a new Zales commercial featuring a lesbian couple. Evidently, they got a couple of different couples in this advertisement.
It's two women, you know, both in bridal gowns,
yeah,
exchanging vows.
Yeah, and rings.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to sell the Zales
Love and Pride rings. Collection.
That's right. At Zales, the narrator in the ad says, "We believe the world needs more love that lasts, love that grows, love that is worth waiting for, love that answers the kind of questions your smartphones can't, and love that buys rings from Zales." So that's the commercial. And it's not the first time that that homosexuality has been featured in commercials. We saw it with Chobani's commercial called Love This Life. Wells Fargo attempted it with a learning sign language commercial, a tearjerker where a lesbian couple prepares to adopt a deaf girl and they are learning sign language. Tylenol's How We Family, Honeymaids, This Is Wholesome, featuring a homosexual couple with a baby. And Hotwire did something as well. And Apple's iPhone 7 presented something of a homosexual couple about 2 months ago. Kohl's has done it. Campbell's Soup. And typically these things are sentimental tearjerkers, cute as teddy bears with powerful music bed underneath it. I don't know if you've watched them, Bill, but not a single quote from Romans 1. And not a reference to 1 Corinthians 6. You know, I wonder, Bill, if you can make bestiality look good with the right music, the right lighting, and the right story in the ad. Something of a sentimental thing relating to a pet, say.
Planned Parenthood is a master of doing this with abortion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do ads that are tearjerkers with the sentimental music in the background. And
yeah. And they touch the heartstrings.
Melancholy.
They touch the heartstrings. And they affect people. They affect millions of people. Tens of millions of people are really affected by the visual medium and of course by music. And Bill, I think what happens is these cultural systems surreptitiously change perspectives. And don't minimize what happens when these multi-million dollar advertisement campaigns are, you know, bringing America, Honeymaid, Tylenol, Chobani, Wells Fargo, Kohl's, Campbell's Soup. I mean, this is as Americana, this is as part of our culture as anything you could even imagine. But now they're using these things to bring about support for what the Bible refers to as an abominable fornication. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast as the new movie we draw your attention to that features homosexuality, encourages children to realize homosexual urges. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today. It's amazing, Bill, how the principalities and powers have so much control over the educational systems, of course, the universities and the media and the entertainment industries, but also the corporations. The largest businesses in America are gung-ho behind a sodomization of our children, a sodomization of the entire culture. And it's amazing how unified all of these powerful institutions are. It's not as if every single person in America is behind this agenda, but it does appear that 98% of the entertainment industry, 98% of the educational systems, and 98% of the large corporations are 100% behind this agenda. And it's hard for Christians to survive in these corporations these days, Bill, without, you know, having to participate in the homosexual celebrations. I mean, if you're not enthusiastically, you know, blowing the party favors and saying, you know, we're just head over heels in love with homosexuality in the corporate environment today, you could be on ice pretty quick.
And it takes principles rather than just pragmatism. It takes those who recognize that they have a business, and the business's purpose is to glorify God in everything that they do. And so when they abandon that, then we should not be surprised that the floodgates are opened and the bottom line is all that matters. It is the profit margin. And so then you would have Zales going after a segment of the population that they think is affluent, that is affluent, that has disposable income and is going to participate in marriages, and that would be the love and pride movement.
But Bill, it's only a 2-4% actually claim to be bisexual / homosexual. I think this is something of a cultural social issue campaign. I think they're on board with the campaign itself. They're extending themselves.
Yeah, because what happens is within the corporation you have those who are very vocal and very, very activist-minded, whereas Christians have retreated from culture. Yeah. Christians need to advance on culture. We need to be proclaiming truth and grace. We need to be calling for the righteousness to prevail in the marketplace rather than allowing those who are perverse to do that.
Well, I'd like to switch gears for a second and take a look at this new movie called Moonlight. It's a coming-of-age movie for an African-American young man who has homosexual urges, and it's a huge step towards the indoctrination towards a pro-homosexual viewpoint, and I think also a training of the young boys in the area of homosexuality, which is not entirely foreign to the homosexual lifestyle. Of course, as you well know, in the history of homosexuality, pederasty is really an essential component of the homosexual movement, has been for thousands and thousands of years. And that's no surprise to anybody who studied history for more than 10 minutes. The movie is called Moonlight. And as you can well imagine, the critics are head over heels in love with this. Again, Bill, it's a universal 98% of critics on Rotten Tomatoes are saying thumbs up, thumbs. It's very rare to find 98% of critics going for any drama. Now, they'll do it on a documentary from time to time, but on a drama? Friends, this is almost unheard of for Rotten Tomatoes critics. They are in love with this movie called Moonlight, which is coming out this week or this weekend. And apparently it starts out, it's three scenes. It's a 10-year-old boy considering homosexuality, speaking of it, sort of dallying a bit with it. Then there's the 16-year-old boy. You know, this is the same boy at 16 years of age now having homosexual relations. And it's a fairly explicit scene in which the movie is creating the homosexual sexual tension, drawing the audience into this part of the unfruitful works of darkness, even as the previews do this. It's a sinister, evil, demonic work that wants to present the whole thing as very sweet, very nice, and anybody who opposes these demonic ideas is a persecutor, as evil as the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that's pretty much the worldview, I think, conveyed in this thing. And it's all in line with prepping boys for pederasty, as the Greeks did. The corruption of boys is the greatest delight in the homosexual pagan heart, and you'll find that throughout history as well. But, Bill, I think this is a significant step for the homosexual movement, and I think homosexuals are calling for equal opportunity fornication. This is another aspect. Now, see, Hollywood has presented fornicating movies thousands of times. And I think homosexuals are stepping forward and saying, hey, why not just one more for us? You know, a little equal opportunity fornication here. And certainly you get that in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You get the homosexual fornication. And we're not saying that all of the fornication going on in Hollywood is appropriate, but for the homosexual. We're saying that Hollywood is soaking in this.
Yeah.
And premarital
fornication.
They're
plumbing the depths.
Oh, yes. And here they're plumbing the depths. But the homosexuals are, of course, excited about the fact there is this this kind of fornication being presented on the silver screen.
One critic, Hilton Ailes, or Owls, wrote, "Did I ever imagine during my anxious, closeted childhood that I'd live long enough to see a movie like Moonlight? Barry Jenkins, the director, is brilliant. His brilliant, achingly alive new work about black queerness. Did any gay man who came of age, as I did in the era of Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, and AIDS, think he'd survive to see a version of his life told on screen with such knowledge, unpredictability, and grace?" Now, this guy is a homosexual critic. And so he's praising this film. Mm-hmm. Now, that you can't dismiss his praise of the film simply because he's homosexual, but he is praising it because of that. It's not because of the quality of the film. He's praising it because of the message that the film sends. And that is the case with Hollywood. They are going to, they're all in on this. And they don't talk about the young boy's lack of a father. They don't talk about the lack of a coherent family that caused this questioning of his sexuality. Mm-hmm. They just say it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and they don't plumb the depths of what a disaster we have created in our culture because of government policies that have broken up the black family.
Yes, and as it turns out, the black family is even more afflicted by this sin than others. According to a Gallup survey done about a year or two ago, 4.6% of African Americans responded yes when asked if they identify with the GLBT thing, and only 4.3% of Asians and 3.2% of Caucasians. So the African Americans are afflicted with this thing far more than others. And I think this movie is intended to further exploit the African-American population, certainly the African-American young men who are terribly taken by this particular grievous sin. You know, and I want to interact with the whole issue of homosexuality and how to address it in a family. I had an email that came in just at the point at which I was watching the preview for this movie promoting homosexuality. And here's what the note said. "I understand all that you talk about on a government, state, national level regarding the homosexual lifestyle, our reaction to it. Please help me understand how we should respond on a family level. I have a sister who has just married, quote unquote, her female roommate. They are active Christians, quote unquote, in the Episcopalian church. She's a very much progressive, autonomous person. We have four children, and I'm torn between protecting them and ministering to her. My question, how do you handle Christmas get-togethers, birthday parties, et cetera? Do we remove ourselves or stay as a witness, et cetera, et cetera?" And I think from the outset, we got to remember that there are ministries that we need to be involved in, for which our children are not quite equipped for. And I think we're called to ministry. We're called to love. We're called to involvement. There's no question we're called to involvement. But we got to be cautious on sins like this. The sin of homosexuality is deeply ingrained in heart, soul, mind, and body. And so I think people need to understand this first and foremost. The sin of homosexuality involves the body, of course, but it's also deeply ingrained in the heart, soul, and the mind. The alcoholic and the drug addict have a physical dependence on alcohol and drugs. The porn addict desires porn, develops a physical dependence as well. The body begins to desire these things. With the mind and the heart have turned to an idolatry and rebellion against God, the body usually follows. And so the homosexual is similar to that. I think we got to remember the homosexual does have a physical desire, and that physical desire follows the heart and the soul and the mind. As the heart and the soul and the mind turns in rebellion against God, the body usually follows. Yes, there's bodily attraction because there is a mind and a heart in rebellion against God. So I think we got to remember that first and foremost as we deal with sin, whether it's alcoholism or whether it's drug addiction, pornography, homosexuality, all of these sins that are very, very common in our society today. As the mind, the heart change, as God in his grace and by his spirit works in the hearts and the minds of men and women, you'll find the body will follow. And that's the blessing of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, the problem with the homosexual sin is that it is particularly praised and rewarded by our institutions today above and beyond all the others. That is, you don't see the Supreme Court of the United States coming out gung-ho about child molestation, about lying, about robbing banks. You know, you don't see a robbing bank celebration day in your local corporation. You know, you're not going to see a pornography addiction day in which we're going to celebrate the sin of pornography and self-gratification in your average company like Apple or Kohl's or what have you. You follow me here, Bill? You're probably not going to have a porn addict sensitivity session.
Yeah,
for the porn addicts, or the lying sensitivity for those who are given to the sin of lying. But what happens with the sin of homosexuality, for some reason, it's hard to really identify the reason except for the fact that it is one of the most severe destructive sins that has destroyed many a society in the past. And apparently in the providence of God, God is ordaining the annihilation of a human society as we know it over the next, I don't know how many years, but it appears that's the direction we're heading as a society. But this sin is worn like a badge by those who hold to it. This is the sin that's always promoted without any shame. And that's the idea behind homosexual marriage, gay pride, etc. It's in order that you present the sin without any shame whatsoever. And that's what makes this a little bit more complicated for the family who has a homosexual relative. You see, if you had a fornicating relative who was shacking with his girlfriend, if you had a lying relative, a relative that robs banks, he was out of prison for a while, and you're thinking about having over for Christmas, Bill, not that big of a deal. But when you've got a sin with a whole package deal in which the brochure in which it's being sold and kids are being indoctrinated to receive this, and you have advertisement campaigns across America that are promoting the sin big time, it's very difficult to stand against that zeitgeist. Are you with me here, Bill?
Yep, it is.
That's what makes this sin so unique. If parents allow relatives to promote homosexuality in their homes, they shouldn't be surprised if their kids turn into homosexuals. So be careful. All I'm saying is be careful. Go in with your eyes wide open. You can't be promoting this. Can't be promoting it. Well, some people say, well, no, Jesus came to eat with prostitutes and sinners. So, I mean, shouldn't we be eating with prostitutes and sinners? No, there's a false Jesus and a true Jesus. Again, friends, you got to distinguish. We live in an era in which there are many Christs, so let's be sure we've got the right one. Remember that the false Jesus came to love sinners in their sin. The real Jesus came to love sinners and call sinners to repentance.
Call them out of their sin.
Absolutely. He said, you know, I've called sinners to repent. I've come to call sinners to repent. I have not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. Now, friends, I think that's our obligation, and that's what you've got to do. And if you've got a homosexual relative, or if you've got somebody who's in sin, you need to go call them to repentance, as Jesus did. And by the way, I don't think you ought to email them. I don't think you ought to write letters to them. I don't think you ought to invite them over for Christmas in order to coddle them in their sins. My recommendation is go to them. Go to their house. Go to meet them at a restaurant somewhere and call your relatives to repentance as Jesus would. Isn't that what Jesus did with Zacchaeus? Isn't that what Jesus did with the woman that was caught in adultery? What did he say? He said, go and sin no more to the woman caught in adultery. Or think about the woman, the sinner woman, who came to his feet and was washing his feet with her tears and drying his feet with her hair. Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, Simon, the Pharisee. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. So what you want to see with a prostitute or a lesbian at the feet of Jesus is a prostitute or lesbian saying, forgive me, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Not the Pharisee who says, thank God I'm a lesbian. Thank God I'm not like other men. Thank God I'm not a sinner. And thank God Jesus is here to coddle me in my sin. See, thankfully, Jesus came to minister to the woman who desired Jesus' forgiveness. She desired Jesus' acceptance, and she received the words that Jesus gave to her. So here's 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I think what this woman's sister needs is to realize that Jesus is a Savior, to realize her filthiness, her corruption, her sinfulness, even as we all do, even as this woman is in this home with four kids realizes her sinfulness, her vileness, her filthiness. And so, you know, what you want is to see that she is filthy, but I'm filthy. We are filthy. And then testify to Jesus as the one who cleanses us from our filthiness.
You know, if this person claims to be a Christian, then what you do is you call him back to, or call her back to bringing herself in line with what Scripture says. If it's a non-Christian, then you deal with her differently. You deal with her need for Jesus. Hmm. You know, that's what you deal with first, and then let Jesus clean her up from the inside out.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't deal with the specific sin, you deal with her need for Christ.
Sometimes the people who are attending the Episcopalian churches or the ones that are members of the Sanhedrin at the local religious temple are the hardest of hearts because they sort of have a self-justification thing going. They think they're good enough for heaven, and they don't want to see themselves as evil, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. They just don't want to see themselves that way.
As 2 Timothy says, they hold to a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
And that's what makes the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Episcopalian church that coddles sin just so incredibly hard to deal with. Their hearts are so incredibly hard. But I think, as Bill says, we just have to believe that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Bring it back.
It's really difficult to talk with those who are closest to you, with family members.
That's true, too. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go door to door. I can go out on the streets because I don't have to bring those people into my home necessarily on holidays or family gatherings.
Right.
And so it is one of those things where you have to go, okay, we have to be deliberate about how we're going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And I think Matthew 18 applies for the one who claims to be a Christian, and that is you go to them, as you said. If they don't, you go back with someone and you confront them again. Mm-hmm. And if you belong to the same body of believers, the same congregation, then you bring them before the congregation. If you don't, then you're going to have to deal with family members and in situations that are going to be very uncomfortable and awkward unless you deal with it directly. You can't deal with it indirectly.
And there may be a period of time in which there's some distance. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 requires some distance where somebody who was called a brother is stuck in a fornicating sin of some sort. There, you know, you may have to have some distance for a while between that relative or that person who was a professing believer and yourself or the church.
And the hope is that they will recognize what sin does, that it breaks relationship, that it breaks, puts you out of fellowship, and it makes you miserable.
Yeah.
And that was the purpose of that. Mm-hmm. And we read later on that person in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians that Paul talks about, did repent and did rejoin the church. So he came back.
He was restored.
Yeah. Yep.
So, friends, here's the final point. The final point is you have a relative whom you love very much who happens to be in sin and hasn't reached out for Jesus to save her from her sins. Here's the point. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on them. Don't ever give up. Continue to pray. Continue to reach out. Continue to minister as best as you can with whatever opportunities you avail yourselves to. And it may wind up being an occasional meeting at a restaurant, but don't give up. Do not give up. Just continue to be the person that can share the gospel and call sinners to repentance, even as Jesus did when he was here. Well, friends, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. I encourage you to the book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, if you want a biblical perspective on the issue of homosexuality, abortion, and, of course, many of the other salient sins of the day. You want to have good grounding. Grab a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.